We're looking at the book of John this morning, John chapter 6, and we're in a series called I Am, Knowing the Jesus That We Love. And so we're moving toward Easter, and it's important as we come to the place on Resurrection Sunday where we stand here and we proclaim the great things about God. Lord Jesus, we love you. Up from the grave he arose. You ask me how I know he lives. We sing these songs of salvation and of Easter. It's important that as we come to Easter, we know the Jesus we're worshiping. We're not worshiping someone we're unfamiliar with or may have mistaken ideas about. And we've been pressing through what Jesus said about himself in the book of John. He made several statements that begin with the words, I am. And today we come to Jesus' statement, I am the bread of life. Jesus said this to a crowd who had been following him since the time when he fed 5,000 men and those who were with the men. So 5,000 heads of household, you might say, or 5,000 men were there. They may have had children or wives with them. But Jesus, out of just a few loaves of bread and a very few fish from a little boy's lunchbox, he took what was there supernaturally with a miracle. He multiplied it. He was able to feed everyone until they were full, and there were baskets and baskets of remnants that were laying on the ground when he was done. Jesus did a miracle there. And these people had been following Jesus, and in order to get away from them, to have some time of peace, Jesus found a boat. And Jesus started going to the other side of the sea, or that body of water there. And he wanted to go a little faster than he was going. And so he miraculously, supernaturally appeared and arrived on the other side. The people who were coming after him got in boats themselves, and they followed. And you'll see in the opening part of this scripture here, their astonishment that Jesus is there already, that he arrived there so quickly. And they begin asking Jesus some questions, and Jesus answers them. I think they're in danger here. I think Jesus perceives the danger that they're about to miss everything about Jesus. They're about to miss everything. And he gives them a warning that kind of points them to who he really is. Let's read this together. John chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, that's just teacher. It's a formal greeting, but notice that it falls short of calling him God or the Son of God or the Son of Man. It's a respectful but not an understanding title. Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here, Jesus? Well, Jesus gets where he wants when he wants. And so, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, or I tell you the truth, listen, you were seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The Son of Man is a title that Jesus used of himself. It just means that I will give you. For on him, on the Son of Man, God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So here's what they're saying. They're saying, Jesus, you're telling us all this stuff, but let us ask you, what are you going to do to prove it? Because back when a long time ago, when our forefathers were in the wilderness, after they left Egypt, they were out there, and Moses gave them bread from heaven. Bread fell from heaven, and we knew that we could trust Moses because that happened. Our fathers ate that bread. How do we know, Jesus, how do we know we can trust you? Put up or shut up, Jesus. I mean, show us what you've got here. Moses did this thing. What are you going to do? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. And so at this point, you can see the men there, the audience who's following him. You can sense the buildup. They want now what he's offering. And with urgency, they say, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. These are true words of Jesus. They're packed with meaning, more meaning than we can exposit today. And so take this in your own life, in your own personhood, for something special. Maybe the Lord will interpret something to your heart from his word this morning that we haven't talked about. But we're going to look at four things, four ways that these people were in danger of missing the most important thing in front of them. They were missing the Savior. Let's look at these four. First is this. They were in danger of missing the meaning. They were in danger of missing the meaning. They come asking Jesus, and at first it may sound like they want to be with him. They said, you know, Sir or Rabbi, how did you get here? It almost sounds like they want to be with Jesus as much as possible, and they're afraid they've missed something in that gap. Jesus calls them out, and he says, You don't want to be with me. You're not seeking me because you saw signs. You're just following me because you want more food. You ate your fill of the loaves, and you'd like some more of that. Jesus knows there's a difference between seeing signs and actually wanting Jesus. Here's a little bit of the difference. A sign is meant to signify, or you can see there, to signify. A sign is meant to signify a greater or a higher reality. If you're going to the Georgia Aquarium today, you're driving down the road and you see a green or a brown sign that says Georgia Aquarium. That's pointing to something greater. You don't stop there at the sign and ask where the belugas are, right? Where's the dolphins, right? You know that it's pointing to something greater. Jesus is saying, listen, a sign is meant to signify a greater reality. It points to something bigger or more significant than itself. It signals something more important. And that's what Jesus meant to happen when he did the miracles around him, the bread and fishes. He's saying, you missed the sign. You stopped there and wanted to worship the signpost when really it was meant to tell you that there is something greater. I took my kids to KFC recently. We've never been to KFC together. And so we were in Cherokee, North Carolina. Gambling? No, we weren't. We were up there, coming home from the mountains that way, and we stopped to eat and went to a pizza place. It was too crowded. Anyway, I said, "Hey, there's a KFC buffet right here in Cherokee," and hadn't been to one of those in a long time, but I had fond memories of them, and so I said, "Let's take the kids to KFC." So we went in there, and it was just food everywhere. I mean, it was, chicken, golden fried, extra crispy or original recipe, 11 herbs and spices, right? Mashed potatoes with the dark brown gravy, macaroni and cheese. It was wonderful, and I heaped up my plate, and I got some for the kids, too, and we sat there, and the kids looked at the chicken, and they said, "What is this?" I said, "Well, that's chicken." They said, "This is not chicken." I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "We want chicken nuggets." I said, no, this is better than chicken nuggets. You know, this is real chicken. They said, "Well, Dad, it has bones." I said, "What do you think those trucks are going down the road? You know, the chicken's just taking a joyride. I mean, that's where chicken comes from, you know." But they said, "Well, do they have chicken fingers here? Now we call them tenders, right? Do they have chicken tenders here?" I said, "Well, they might, but that costs extra, you know, just eat the chicken." And they wouldn't eat it, and I understand, okay? I'm not criticizing too badly. But what I want to point out is the nugget, a chicken nugget, it's the lesser thing of chicken. It's meant to point us to the fact that there is actually a real good chicken out there, right? If you go and get a chicken tender or a chicken finger, hey, that's the signpost to say that somewhere, somehow, there is a golden fried chicken breast and a drumstick waiting for you, okay? It's the lesser things that point us to the greater things. These men, these people were in danger of missing the meaning. See, when we see a miracle in our lives, when we see a signpost, it's meant to point us to Jesus. It's meant to point us to something greater. When you experience a blessing in your life, many times you've been blessed. You sat around the table at Thanksgiving or just enjoyed family and friends or, you know, a promotion at work or God's just been with you or blessed you somehow. Don't worship that blessing. You've got your health today and you love cycling. Don't worship cycling. You've got your retirement today and you're provided for. Don't worship that money. That's a signpost. God has bring blessing in creation all around us in order to point us to God. The times when God has been with you in crisis, when you've suffered, when you're empty, when you're breathless with pain, where there's no answer and no way to be helped, and all of a sudden you feel the arm of the Savior holding you up. That's not meant for you to worship that moment, to worship that blessing. It's meant for you to look under the hills and to worship Jesus himself. They were in danger of missing the meaning. We're in that danger too sometimes. God has blessed me so much. I'm so thankful. Well, let it point you to Jesus. And let your life follow him. Don't miss the meaning here. They were in danger of missing the meaning, but they were also in danger of missing the fullness. They were in danger of missing the fullness. He tells them this, do not work for food that perishes or that passes away, that rots away, but for the food that endures or persists to eternal life. And the word for eternal here is Ionios, and we get the word eon from that. This is, you want to not focus on things that are just passing away, but focus on the things that is going to endure into the eons forever, into eternal life, Ionios. Don't squander or waste the opportunity. You've come to the Savior here. Don't ask for loaves of bread. See what I mean? When you come to the Savior, you don't waste that opportunity asking, can I have some more breadcrumbs, Jesus? You ask for what matters. I used to eat at my grandmother's house, and I would be in college, and on a break in the afternoon, I'd go to her house in Brainerd, Brainerd area of Chattanooga, and she lived there for as long as I knew, and I'd go there, and she would be watching her shows, and if I went in there just to take a break, she would always ask me, honey, are you hungry, right? Thank God for grandmas. And so she'd say, honey, are you hungry? And sometimes I'd say, you know, I might like to have a little snack. You know, I knew she had Cheez-Its there. And at my house, we were too poor for the real Cheez-Its. But Meemaw, my grandmother, had Cheez-Its. And so I thought I might get some Cheez-Its. And she had cran grape. We didn't have that at our house either. I thought I'd get some Cheez-Its and cran grape. Well, grandma doesn't let you just have a snack, okay? And so I'd come in and say, well, maybe I'll have a little snack. Before I knew it, I heard dishes coming out of the cabinet and the fridge opening, leftovers with microwave heating. And I'd walk in there, and there was a feast set before me. Now, I don't know what, you know, most of the stuff had been in there for a week, you know, but it was a feast, you know. You don't go to grandma's house. See, grandma is a feeder. Who's a grandmother here today? Okay, a lot of you guys. Y'all are feeders, okay? I'm glad to be in a church full of feeders, really. Grandmas are feeders. You don't go to grandma's house and say, well, I think I might have a few Cheez-Its. That's foolhardy. You know what I mean? That's the thing with Jesus. You don't go to the given Son of God. You don't go the one who from eternity has fought for you as an enemy and who has come and landed in your world and in your midst. And say, Jesus, I'm a little hungry today. Can you give me a snack? Jesus, can you bless me with a good day today? Lord, I'd just like to have a good day. You don't come to God for only that. I want you to have a good day too. But when we approach Jesus, we are in danger, friends, of missing the fullness. God help my grandson or granddaughter to get a scholarship. I want them to get a scholarship too. I really do. But you know what I want for them more? I want them to live lives that are fully given over to Jesus. You know what I mean? Go to Jesus for the good stuff. Don't walk into his house and into his presence and say, I'd like to have a snack. He's there waiting with abundant life to give to you. The things that will endure, that will sustain, that will persist into the eons are what Jesus holds in his hands. Go to him for those things. They were in danger of completely missing it, but also they were in danger of missing the gift. What must we do, they ask. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Now, we've got to pay attention here to what happens. Jesus answers them differently than what they asked. He says, this is the work of God. Jesus, what do we have to do? Tell us the things that we can be doing to be doing the works of God. See, they were confused here. They thought that they still had what it took. They thought that they still possessed the goodness in them in order to be right with God. Here's how we know that. Look at the three words right in a row. Do. What can we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus, just tell us what to do. We'll do it. Jesus says, no. No, 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 no. There's only one work of God, and I've done it. I'm doing it. I'm here. All you have to do is just believe in me. Believe in me. I'm here. I have done the work that you could never do. My septic tank at my old house ruptured or something, and it was awful, and the yard was squishy, and I mean, it just got worse and worse, and for months, I just tried to pour stuff from Ace down the drain, and it didn't work out. It doesn't heal a ruptured septic tank, and so it got stinky, and the neighbors were complaining, and so finally, I said, I'm going to have to do something about this. And so we called my father-in-law, Butch, Erica's dad. He can do everything. And so I called him, and I said, you know, we've got this. And he said, well, you just go out there and dig a hole. I said, where do I dig this hole? He said, well, just start where it's wet. So I went out there with a shovel. Jackson went with me, and we started digging. We went down 5 feet. We dug a 5-foot hole, right? It was hideous. Smelly, and our boots was sunk down so far in the mire there that when we lifted up our leg, the boot stayed and our foot came out, you know. And so we were just, you know, shoulder deep down in this hole, and I finally found the place where the pipe was leaking there. It was separated. I said, oh, great, now what do I do? So I called Butch again, and he said, well, I'll come down there and look at it. And he came down there and looked at it, and he said, well, you need to call somebody. And so Butch always tells me that I can do it, and then it turns out I can't do it. And so we called somebody, and they came out with a gigantic piece of heavy equipment, a backhoe. They come down in the yard, and they dug a canyon in the yard. I mean, they huge and deep and wide. It was vast. I looked at that, and then I looked at my little shovel there, me and Jackson standing there covered in mud. Looked at that. There was no way we were ever going to be able to dig that hole with our little shovels. What this guy had to do, it required massive work, something we could never have done. This is our salvation. This is the message here. They were in danger of missing the gift. They're saying, well, Jesus, which shovel do we use to dig ourselves out of our sin? Which shovel, God, do we need to draw closer to you and to be warmly received in our sinfulness by your holiness? And Jesus looks at him and says, you're going to have to call somebody. There's only one work of God. The only work of God that would lead to salvation would be the death of the Son of God on the cross for us. And Jesus says, if you want to know what the work of God is, there is only one choice for you. You believe in the one that God has sent. Jesus urges us to have empty hands when we accept the gift of God. That means your shovel, you've got to lay it down to be able to pick up what he's brought to you, okay? You can't work it out on your own. They're in danger of missing that gift. They're also in danger of missing the rescue. They're in danger of missing the rescue. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. They've asked this question. They've asked him about Moses and said, hey, what are you going to do, Jesus, to prove to us that you're legit, that we can believe you? Now, you would think it would have been enough that he did the miracle with the 5,000. That should have been in their minds, you know. That's pretty good. I mean, they said, well, Moses did this. They were always comparing Jesus to somebody else. Are you better than our father Jacob who gave us this well? Are you better than Abraham? Are you superior to Moses, Jesus? Every time the answer is yes, but they're always comparing him and wanting to treat him the same as other things in their lives. We know about Moses. Jesus, are you like him? We know about Abraham. We know about, they want to treat Jesus just on equal footing with the other things in their lives. Jesus said, that's not going to happen here. Let me tell you, the bread that they received from heaven in the Old Testament, that came from my Father. And now he is sending the bread of life into the world. And I am that bread. You've got to fully embrace Jesus for who he is, not compare him and treat him equal with other priorities in your life. I knew a boy at my old church who came up through middle school in our student ministry. I was a youth pastor for a while, and his name was Aaron, and I knew him. And Aaron is one of these boys that you call him on the phone, and he would answer in a deep voice. And you knew it wasn't his voice, you know, but he'd answer, he'd say, hello, you know, like, Aaron, it's me, you know, give it up, dude. I know how you really talk, you know. But he wanted to be more masculine, and he'd always answer with this deep voice, and just a funny little guy. And he grew up, and he trusted the Lord in our student ministry, and I grew closer with him. And I remember just walking with Aaron through his parents' divorce and the hardship of that. I remember when a classmate of his died in a car crash, a friend of his, and how he just showed up at the church for no reason, just showed up there. And I had to pry out of him, you know, what's going on, what's happening? And he finally told me. I remember crying with him through that and praying with him, going to the funeral with him when his parents wouldn't go, and sitting there in that place with him next to him while all that unfolded. I just remember just the Lord doing something awesome in his life and allowing me to be a part of it there. But every time I see Aaron, I try to give him a hug. Now, Aaron, every time I see him, I go for a hug. Hey buddy, how you doing? He quickly turns and gives me one of these masculine side shoulder pats. You know what I mean? We call those a side hug, maybe. But Aaron is very conspicuous about it. And now, over time, I thought, you know, we've been through a lot. Surely, you know, he's warmed up to me by now. He doesn't have to use the low voice anymore. And surely there's enough water under the bridge that, hey, there's affection here. Man, I'm glad to see you. Oh, it's a blessing that you're, come on. Every time, it's a side guy pat. You know what that looks like. They're in danger of doing that to Jesus. We face that danger. Many thousands of years later, we face the same danger today. Jesus is God's full and final answer to the eternal cry of our soul. And sometimes we want to say, hey, buddy, hey, Jesus. We can't do it that way. Jesus is God's full and final answer. Why would you treat him as if he's a stranger, if he doesn't know you? Don't do that. Don't do that with Jesus. The danger is still here. And if you look around our communities, if you look around even our spiritual people in this area, you'll see over and over again that people want a flavor and a touch of Jesus, but they don't want to embrace the Savior as he stands in front of them. I've got a poem here I want to share with you. This was something we learned about on Wednesday night in our Bible study. It's by Wilbur Reese. It's called $3 Worth of God. Let me read this for you, and we'll wrap up. The poem is this. It's from the 1970s, and so you'll see maybe a theme or two in here that is of that era, but it's like this. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. You see, the problem with that is that Jesus has opened up his everything for you. And he will be accepted on no other terms than that. He's given us his everything. And he offers that to you today. But he does not offer you a moderated, negotiated, mediated Jesus. There's no such thing. But if you'll have it, he'll give you his everything. Let me pray for us. In just a moment, we'll offer you a time of response. And what that is simply a time when, if the Lord has spoken to you, or if you have a spiritual need, or if you feel prompted by God's Spirit in any way, I can't define all those ways, but if you belong to the Lord, you know when he's speaking. Maybe you would come and make a decision here, or come for prayer on your own, or come to ask us to pray with you. Today, maybe you would come for the first time and trust Jesus. Maybe you would come and lay your everything down at the altar and say, Lord, yeah, I know it. I have known it, that you've loved me, that you've watched me, that, Lord, as I've been your foe, you did battle on my behalf. And on the cross, Lord, that you gave and shed your blood, that you endured insults, that you were speared, Lord, there because of me as an enemy. Lord, I want that kind of what the world might call reckless love. Lord, if you're offering, I'm taking. Maybe you'd come for baptism today, or maybe you just come and say, you know, Matthew, I want to be a part of a body of believers who is honest and open and sincere and takes seriously what God's given them to do. I promise you that defines Poplar Springs. If you've been thinking about becoming a part of us and joining as a member, we welcome you to express that today. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for trusting it to us. What we've read today humbles us. God, we are not worthy of that kind of an outpouring from heaven. We are those who come to Jesus for a snack. I don't deny that. I don't deny that my heart left alone would come to you, God, just to meet my immediate needs, just to serve my comfort, just to make me feel pleasant. But God, you don't offer a snack, God. You offer a bounty. You've laid a table before us, spread out in front of us a feast, God, that we can never accomplish ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. We repent today of treating you otherwise. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who needs to come to you for any reason, Lord, give them the boldness and Holy Spirit speak in a powerful way that they would come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.